Så det har kunnat. Deha means body. And we find some different explanations of the meaning. Some say that before one can enter into the pastimes of Krishna, that one must take bath here and take the female form. Others have come here and have made great offerings to Krishna and have traditionally thrown gold and jewels into the kund, and now it's become 1 rupee or 5 rupee coins, and boys with magnets and all that. But we are also hearing about a deeper meaning. And that deeper meaning is more significant. Because this is the place where Srimati Radharani offered Deha. Deha can mean the body, but an extended meaning of Deha is the physical world, is everything that is relating to the body. Because in this world, we are relating to the world through the instrument of our body. And it is the instrument of our body that is the instrument of our sense gratification. It is through the body that we enjoy or suffer, whatever. The body is always the vehicle that makes the link with the material world. So when we surrender the body, basically we are giving up all varieties of sense gratification. So, we're giving up all varieties of sense gratification. And that is the greatest sacrifice. Because somehow or other, everyone wants some enjoyment. That is so deeply rooted, so difficult to give up, that even when we are taking to Krishna consciousness, we always find some ways to enjoy our senses. Somehow or other, a little corner still for me and my senses. But Srimati Radharani basically gave up all sense gratification and therefore surrendered her deha. And as she surrendered the deha, Krishna said, as you gave me this gift, I will also give you a gift. And I will give you the gift that I will always be present in your mind. So that is the result. If we surrender our body and everything that we can do with the body to Krishna, then Krishna will always be manifest in our mind. So this place, this kund, is the place of surrender to Krishna. And in that way, a very nice place to dive in. This time I have a big cold, so I'm not diving in. But last year, I definitely jumped in, and then everybody else also jumped in. And what shall I say? Because there is mercy, undoubtedly. Maybe it's so difficult to surrender one's complete self to Krishna. So, we come here in such places to understand a little bit more about Krishna's eternal world, about Krishna's pastimes. Understanding about Krishna's pastimes means that we understand that Krishna is not just a passive Supreme Lord seated on a throne in heaven and sending down some blessings for the devotees and some thunderbolts for the sinners. That's not his work. His work is is always engaged in his own pleasure pastimes. So when we become a little bit situated in devotional service, in the beginning it's a fight to somehow or other fix ourselves and to chant our rounds and to follow the principles and the program, and it's a fight in the mind and the senses. But once we become a bit situated in this process, then we can start to think a little bit that actually Krishna has his own reality, his own world, his own pastimes, and we can see ourselves as servants in that reality. So it works like that. In the beginning, I found that difficult. Like, I couldn't understand Janmashtami because I thought, like, we are fasting the whole day and at the same time cooking the whole day. So what a strange process. I thought it's an awkward process. I mean, usually you fast, you have nothing to do with food that day, right? But fasting and at the same time cooking the whole day, I thought, like, this is very strange. Because I couldn't understand that Krishna has his reality and that we should just forget about our temporary physical reality and just focus on Krishna's reality. And that's that fast on Janmashtami for one day. Forget our reality, forget our physical needs and just focus one day on the physical needs of Krishna and just cook for him wonderful preparations and so on. So gradually this is what we are being prepared for in our sadhana, to take care of Krishna. I was yesterday came into the Yamuna book up to the point where they were in London and getting those deities, rather, London Iswara. And we remember how one man consulted with Prabhupada and they had for their Hindu society, these deities were brought, but the deities were, Radharani's hand was damaged and therefore they weren't sure if they could install them and would Prabhupada have them. And Prabhupada sort of said, well, I don't know, really it depends, you know, we would have to see them. So then Mr. Gayal agreed, all right, you can come. And they came and then they saw and then Prabhupada was talking to him and just talking to him and talking to him and never showed any interest in the deities. Suddenly the man said, Swamiji, the deities. And Prabhupada said, yeah, the deities. Yeah. And he kept on talking about India and all kinds of things. And finally the man said, let's have a look at the deities. And then Prabhupada said, yeah, okay, let's have a look at the deities. And Prabhupada looked at them. Yeah, very nice. And then he, of course, told the devotees, you know, how heavy are they? Are they heavy? All this sort of lifting them a little. No, not so heavy. And then Prabhupada certainly turned around and said, okay, we'll take them. And still told him, we'll take them to the car. And he was talking to the men, thank you very much. And it was really wonderful. And we really take care of them. And the man said, no, but we'll send them. Prabhupada said, no problem, we have a van, we'll just take them down. And no, but I'll get them repaired. No, we have experts, that is no problem at all, we'll take care. And Prabhupada just kind of like stood there like this, and the deities were in the car, shoot around the corner. And then, as soon as they were around the corner, Prabhupada stopped off his obeisances and started to recite the Brahma Samhita. So that is very famous. And then, at that time, Yamuna became the pujari, And Prabhupada is personally training her. So, Prabhupada trained her in kind of a bit of Vrindavan meditation, because Prabhupada said to her, when you think, when you go get ready for bathing the deity, then in your mind you take a golden or a silver vessel on your shoulder and you walk to the Yamuna, you collect Yamuna water, you bring that back, and then you bathe the deity. And then you massage the deity with fragrant oil, and then again you bathe the deity. So like that, Prabhupada was training her, and she was like getting more and more absorbed in deity worship. And she was the only pujari, so doing everything, cooking, worship, the whole thing. Whatever was to do with the deities, she would do it. So that was so involved, right? I mean, and everything was there, Mangala Artis, sweets, and all the offerings, everything. All the artis, putting to rest, waking, dressing, everything. She said that one day, at night, she just had put the deities to rest, and she went outside the deity room to pay obeisances. And in the morning, when it was time to wake the deities, she woke up in that position, still paying obeisances at night. That's Deva Kund, right? That's the spirit. That's the spirit. Everything in Krishna. So, that's very, very nice. Absorption in the pleasure of Krishna. So deity worship is very much like that. It's entering into Krishna's world. And we can serve in Krishna's world. Not just like Saksha Sen in Sydney, they have this deity there, and such a nice deity, and full-size Radha and Krishna. And we've had really nice kirtans there, nice prasad, but they're not inviting me anymore. I think I have offended them.
Oh my!
You're right. To invite myself. For Krishna we can do it. So when we are with the deity, we are in Krishna's world, right? Not in our world. The altar is the spiritual world, and we are with Krishna in his world. But we are not qualified. Therefore, there are very strict rules and regulations on the altar. Right? You cannot just walk around and do anything, because we are not qualified as residents of the spiritual world, and therefore on the altar we must behave according to Shastra. Then, alright, we can be. But our meditation is we are in the spiritual world, right there in Krishna's world, making arrangements for Krishna's pleasure, everything for Krishna's pleasure, not for our pleasure, not thinking, what can Krishna do for me in my world? Oh Krishna, please help me. Oh Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Krishna, bring me this. Oh Krishna, bring me that. Fix this, fix that. No, just Krishna, let me bring to you some Yamuna water in a golden pot. Kindly accept this humble offering. I remember we were in Mayapur one year on Radhastami, and there was a flood at the time. And so we were standing in front of Radha Madhava on the stage, and Janadivas was scooping water from the Ganga, which was right next to us. We're standing in the Ganga. So he was scooping up the water of the Ganga, then filtering it to a cloth, and then bathing the deities with that. Right? And meanwhile, there was a kirtan party swimming in front and having kirtan in the water. It was a very ecstatic Radhastami. Very nice. Somehow or other. So we bathe Krishna with Ganga and Yamuna water. If you go to Jaipur, to the palace of the king, then you'll find those two big silver pots. Right? A man can go inside, three men can go inside. Maybe four. Maybe three Europeans and maybe six Indians. Indians.
they can somehow or other manage to take up less space. Anyway, but he had these pots filled with Ganga Jala, and these large pots he took on a ship to London for his puja, and every day he would bathe the Lord with Ganga water. He had a shalagam, and he brought to London, and then he had his Ganga Jala, so he could bathe his deities with Ganga water. Okay. One can do it through mantra, Ganga Yamuna Chaiva, one can invoke the Ganga, and in the same way, or can in his mind just bring it in. So, really the meaning of Deha Kund, or of surrendering on the physical platform, is that we completely start to focus on Krishna's needs, and that we make it our business to satisfy his needs, and that we turn away completely from thinking of Krishna satisfying our needs. Therefore, this is not the beginning. This is not the first surrender. This is not the first day that we come to Krishna and say, okay, Krishna, I give up my sinful life, now I'm yours. No, this is the day when we are coming to unalloyed devotional service. This is the day where we surrender here in Deha Kund, that we say, no more. No more for me, but all for Krishna. All for Krishna. So that is our meditation. So if we don't jump in the waters, at least we put it on our head, in the hope that we come a little closer to that surrender. And that's why we do these kind of parikrams. See, children are just like monkeys. Anyways, that's amazing. So we are... We are here on these pilgrimages to get some eternal spiritual benefit, and these are all sanskaras, deep impressions that bring us closer to Krishna and to understanding Krishna and what Krishna consciousness really is. And that's the idea. That's why I'm not so quick on these parikramas. In the Jhumnamars is also not so quick, you know, because we'd rather go deeper in the meditation. I mean, we can quickly run around, we could have covered it already and already be on the bus to Varsana. Or we could try and see all the villages in one day. Right? But then we don't take time to go deeper into the meaning of the place. So, therefore, one place enough for one day, one village. Still more coming. So any questions? Is deity worship for everybody? Of course it's for everybody. Deity worship is maybe not the main process for the yuga, but it's still very essential. In the Treta Yuga, deity worship was introduced, it says in Srimad Bhagavatam, and it says it was introduced because people began to treat each other disrespectful. And it said by worshipping the deity that could be rectified. You see, because it's difficult to be respectful, but worship of the deity, because everything is prescribed and it's all aimed at being respectful, not with our back to the deities and so on, and bowing down, no arguments in the temple, don't cry when it's not about Krishna. So basically leave everything behind in front of Krishna. Krishna is the center. And Krishna in the center of the attention. That is it. No red, you know. Of course, dark red is okay, but like flashing red or flashing blue, no, because it takes away from Krishna. One can put glitter gold and also take away from Krishna. But the best glitter and the best gold is for Krishna. That's Vaishnava and Vaishnava. So deity worship is for everyone. Doesn't mean that everyone is on the altar necessarily. In kirtan for the deity, everyone can partake. See, it's like kirtan can be done just like that. But when we chant in front of the deities, it really brings out a whole different element. I remember, like, one year I was in Germany in Chamaskini leading a kirtan for the deities, and it was Abhishek, and then it was like building up, and the kirtan was going with the Abhishek, you know, like. And then suddenly they showed slides of Vrindavan, and showed some cows and this, that. And then they showed the Yamuna. And automatically the kirtan slowed down. Because the Yamuna flows very slowly. Okay? The Yamuna is a slow river. The Ganga is like powerful, but the Yamuna is very slow. I used to sit in the Yamuna up to my neck, with the turtles coming by and my beads floating in the water, chanting japa. That was nice. Very peaceful. So like that. We need these udipan. Deity worship provides us with udipan, or with impulses to stimulate us. That's why we go here to all these places and there's all deities. The deities were not here 5,000 years ago when Krishna was performing these pastimes. So in a way, you know, the place is more Krishna. It's like, in a way, the deities are separate from pastime of Krishna. But still, you know, the deity help us to bring out the mood of remembrance of Krishna. So we have all these deities. And for us, you know, you go to a place like Radhakund and there's all these deities and all these temples, and that makes it all a very transcendental experience. Vrindavan, you know, all the temples. If it was just forest, it would be hard for us to walk around and Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I mean, if that's over there, look, if that's all there is, go like hot. Wanna go home? Any prasadam? But where there are temples, there are deities, there is prasadam. Deity worship is for everyone. But some have to be at a distance, like the kids. Like these kids. But the pujaris are really good. They're nice. Generally welcome us as their guests and looking after us. And, you know, they're happy to show their deities, and of course they can use some donations and like everyone. But they were nice about it. Then we give more. Other questions? She didn't give up the body, she surrendered the body. Not giving up the body, surrendering.
So what do you mean by surrender?
It means that she, at that point, gave her whole physical world to Krishna, said, my body is yours, I will not do anything for my own senses, I'll only work for your senses. That's what it means. Rishikena, Rishikesa, Sevanamattu, Rishikesa. I will only work for your senses, for the pleasure of your senses. Of course, that's not surprising from Srimad Bhagavatam. But for us, that would be quite something. Fire water. Yeah, shall we go further?